Want more stories in your life without adding to your TBR? That's where Audible comes in. I use it for the original novellas, the Plus catalog like Deanna Reborn's Veronica Speedwell series, and those audiobook sales that you can beat. Right now, Audible has a special offer for new and returning members. Click the link in the show notes to see what deal you'll get and start listening today. The What True Next podcast helps you build a TBR of future favorite books. In each episode, Lori Amin interviews authors and book influencers to recommend books they loved for you to pick up today. If you're an avid reader, always looking for your next great read, then this show's for you. Hi, Susan. Welcome to What True Next podcast.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm excited to be here and have a new book to talk about.
Oh, I'm so excited to have you here. So tell us a little bit about yourself.
I started writing before I could read or even talk, because what I would do, and I have evidence of this because my dear old mom saved my work, I would scribble on paper and just talk to her and babble and tell her, write this down, starting at the age of two and a half. And all through my childhood, I wrote stories. And so I'm a lifelong writer. But for your listeners, people come to writing at any time of life, as kids, while in school, after retirement, anytime. And that's one of the great things about a writing career. But I was a very early bloomer. And I sold my first book in 1986. And I think I was about 26 or 27 years old. And I published a book, sometimes more than one, every year since then. So it's been a busy and very fulfilling career, mainly because of people like you, because I'm such a reader. The only thing that I like better than writing is reading a book. And so it's perfect for me. I get the best of both worlds.
Yes. And
I went to school for, this is for maybe curious people or interested aspiring writers. I went to school and became a teacher because, as any writer will tell you, nobody pays you to be an aspiring writer. I had a teaching career and transitioned to a full-time writer about 25, 30 years ago.
So how does your full-time writing looks like now as opposed to when you were starting out, which probably might be similar, might be different?
It does look like a job with nobody to supervise me except my dogs. But I definitely put in the hours. That's one of my tenets, is put in the hours and don't expect somebody to do your work for you. And so I probably work a regular 40-hour work week, sometimes 60 when it's crunch time and I'm on deadline. And it's very fulfilling though, because I love the creativity of it. I love meeting readers. I love talking about books. So it's been very fulfilling and I'm grateful for that.
So I'm going to ask the question, because you mentioned a fun fact about yourself is you live in an island and you get to use a boat as well as a car. And your island, most people use the library. Talk to us about, like, how did you land in this place? This what seems to be a magical place.
Yeah, it's great. It's very obscure. It's a little bitty island in Puget Sound near Seattle. So if you're familiar with Grey's Anatomy, which I assume we all are, The opening shots always show a ferry. That's the Bainbridge Island Ferry. We make crossings. So I'm physically close to the city, but what's nice about that is I can get in my boat and go visit friends or go to dinner or go to the city or pick somebody up at the airport. So it's a little different and a lot more mellow than city traffic. So I feel really lucky to be able to do that. People who see my Instagram posts or my social media posts usually see a lot of pictures of Mount Rainier. It's right outside my window across the sound. And I have a really lovely writing spot. But I should say I've written all kinds of places, in offices and closets and sitting in my car waiting for my daughter to get through piano lessons. I drag my writing with me wherever I go.
Mm-hmm. I love this. And so you mentioned that you're returning to holiday books with The 12 Dogs of Christmas. So what was it like to write a holiday book after a 10-year quote-unquote hiatus?
It was way more fun than I would have guessed. And it came about because I think it was my literary agent or maybe my editor who said we'd have a Christmas book. And I hadn't written a Christmas book since 2013. I wrote one called Candlelight Christmas. And then prior to that in 2010, I think it was called Lakeshore Christmas. And they were both part of this book series that I had worked on called The Lakeshore Chronicles. And they're just connected books about a small, beautiful town in the Catskills in upstate New York. And they had quite a loyal following, but I strayed away from that because I didn't specifically change publishers, but I changed imprints. And when I was writing for the William Morrow imprint, they were standalone books. And so it didn't cross my mind to do then when it came into focus. Oh my gosh, I got to write a Christmas book. Then I realized that I could give it as a gift to my loyal Lakeshore Chronicles readers and have it be set there. But it's definitely also a road book. And I had not done one of those in quite a while. Two women driving. There's no end of things that can happen, especially when they're driving from Texas to this small snowy town in the Christmas season with a van load of rescue dogs. That's where the 12 dogs comes from. And yeah, my main character, Brenda, in any Christmas book, you always need that person who's scroogey and jaded about the holiday. And that's Brenda. She had a really rough, awful breakup over Christmas. And it's not a spoiler because you'll see it when you read the prologue to the book, but she's just done with Christmas. She's ready to escape. She wants to go where nobody knows her. And it's just a clean slate just to get away from the holidays. And so she ends up transporting a van of rescue dogs from the shelter in Texas to their new homes in this small snowy town. And as you can imagine, things don't go as planned. It involves a pretty serious mishap and a hunky EMT who rescues her. And we take it from there. And instead of escaping Christmas, she finds herself in this town that like lives and breathes Christmas. It's one of those towns. Everybody probably has one near you where you go to see the lights, you go to see the snow, you go to see the ice sculpture contest by the lakeshore. And so suddenly she's surrounded and she has to dig deep and look at where she is in her life. And did she make some good choices? And is she really following her dream? Because ultimately, isn't every story that I write has a love story in it, but it's also a story about finding your true authentic self. And Brenda in this book definitely is on that path. And I hope that the choices that she makes through the book and to the end will surprise and delight readers.
Oh, I'm very excited. So tell us, like, for readers who have read The 12 Dogs of Christmas and may have gone back to the earlier Christmas books, maybe they're looking for other seasons like spring or summer. What kind of books from your backlist would you recommend them to pick up next?
Definitely, if they did enjoy The 12 Dogs of Christmas, then they can go back and access all of the Lakeshore Chronicles books. They're still in print. They actually have some lovely new editions of them that they've been releasing every few months. And the very first one that started it all was called Summer at Willow Lake. And so that's definitely a summer book. It has to do with reviving an old summer camp and family celebration. And I think that one, I call it the gateway drug, the one that gets you into this world and invites you to read the next 11 books in the series. Now 12. I've got an even dozen now.
I love this. It'll keep you entertained. You can read one book a month and it'll be a whole year. You'll have a season
Thank
six
you.
Year.
I'm going to remember that. Yes, I appreciate that.
There we go. So I love this. So let's talk about reading life. You mentioned you love reading just as much as you love writing. What kind of books do you tend to read?
I'm always drawn to women's fiction. I just call it fiction because it's a little slippery to figure out, is this for a woman or is this for a man? But what I mean is it's a book about a living, breathing person. I have enjoyed fantasy in the past, but lately I seem to gravitate towards, I guess I call them problem and resolution books in a really dramatic way. I love a page turner. I do like thrillers, really just bestsellers. I'm really drawn to. And there's another Christmas book out from a friend of mine called The 12 Months of Christmas. So we've been trading things back and forth on social media about that. I do love love a Christmas book. I read one called Bright Lights, Big Christmas by Mary Kay Andrews. And so as we get into the holiday season, I'm sure I will pile my nightstand with those, but I do. And then I read a lot for work, really a lot, because my books always have something that I'm curious about and need to learn about, whether it's dog rescue or, I don't know, starting a bakery or placing a child for adoption, things like that. So I read a lot of nonfiction just to inform myself so that my books have the ring of truth.
That's a really smart way to look at it, to explore, satiate that little analytical curiosity and doing nonfiction, but then still enjoying some of the fiction, whether it's your friends or whether it's like just bestsellers or pastures and just a little bit of everything. So that keeps like diverse reading. Susan, tell us where you can find you online.
It's very easy. SusanWiggs.com. I reserved my domain name in the last century and I cling to that. And then of course, all the social media channels can be accessed there. I tend to get lost on social media, so I'm not super active, but you can always find something relevant on usually Instagram for me. And that's where I seem to get a lot of book recommendations. And lately I've discovered a lot of books through Pinterest. If you're familiar with that, I'm on Pinterest and I always try to make a pin board with relevant things from whatever book that I happen to be working on.
Oh my gosh, I need to now stake out your Pinterest board. So like, yeah, where are the aesthetics?
Do. And I will reciprocate. I'll look for your pins on Pinterest.
Yes. Oh, I love this. So thank you, Susan, for being on the show.
You're so welcome. Happy reading to everyone and happy holidays.
If you enjoyed this podcast, feel free to share with friends, subscribe, rate, and review the show. This is the easiest way to support the podcast. For a list of books mentioned and other book recommendations, please visit whatyoureadingnextblog.com. Thank you so much for listening and happy reading.
Are you an author, publisher, or book-related business looking to reach passionate readers? What You Read Next podcast is a perfect place to connect with an engaged audience of romance and mystery lovers who are always on the hunt for their next great read. Now, we're offering sponsorship opportunities. Whether you're launching a new book, promoting an upcoming release, showcasing a bookish product or services, we can help you get the word out. Let's work together to bring your books or businesses to readers who are ready to discover something new. Please visit whatyoureadingnextblog.com/sponsorships to learn more or reach out to chat about the perfect sponsorship or package for you. Thank you so much for listening. Your next great reader is waiting for you.